Well, God bless you, saints. Thank you so much for being with us. What would you do if a tornado came towards your house? Well, Christians have various ways of dealing with things, but you know, the Lord taught us to walk in His steps. What could you imagine that Jesus would do? Well, then that's what you can do, right? This revelation, this dream was given to Belinda Anderson about handling catastrophic things like that. And I'm going to share it with you. She said, I had a little dream this morning where I was standing in a parking lot of a school. And she has in parenthesis, a place where man's traditions are taught. Yep. They teach you how to take care of things yourself. Right? When suddenly a strong wind began to kick up. As I was looking up, a tornado siren went off, alerting people of the impending danger. You know, just a few days ago, the brethren here in the valley heard the tornado sirens going off in the cities around us. There's a city not far from me, and the tornado sirens were going off, and the wind was picking up. And, of course, I just walked around my yard and commanded things to cease and be still and be blessed, and they were. And, be it unto you according to your faith, but the Lord can give you faith with His word. She said the tornado sirens were going off. I watched as people ran into their houses and down into their basements. And she puts a place of unbelief. Well, a place of fear and salvation by works is what it is. See, this is all things the Lord wants to wean us from, and so that we can walk in the Spirit. Walk as He walked, right? They left the upper levels, heavenly places in Christ Jesus, of their homes to go into their storm cellars. She calls it a man-made protection. Yes. And these don't always work, but you know what? Jesus always works. And what about those who don't make it to their storm cellars, or they're taken down in their storm cellars, or school buildings, or whatever buildings they've entered into? Boy, I tell you, in the last couple of years, a lot of schools have been destroyed. And they've generally made them a place of emergency shelter. And a lot of them have been destroyed. And they're rebuilding them, and God's tearing them down again. For goodness sake. Belinda said this is what they had been taught by a spirit of the traditions of men to be protected from threatening storms. But Colossians 2:8 says, take heed lest there be any one that make a spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world. Or principles of the world, and not after Christ. Yes, we have to follow in the steps of Christ if we want to walk in His kingdom. The kingdom of God is where God rules, and where God rules through us, and where God rules over us. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Jesus said. He told us how to handle these things. He taught us how to handle these things. Many ignore these because of their idolatrous institutions of men. Sometimes the schools can be the religious organizations, right? Jesus delivered those who believe from any such curse that comes because of sin. And all of the curse comes because of sin. It's called the curse of sin and of death. Or the curse of the law, which is the curse that the law brings upon those who sin, right? But we know what the Lord says, Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. In Deuteronomy, we're told of the curse of the law in several pages there. And all the bad things that happen to humans because of rebellion against the Word. But we have a covering. In our ignorance, we have a covering, and that is the blood of Jesus. But we have to believe in that, right? Well, it says He redeemed us. That means He bought us and He took us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He bore the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. See, God put all of the curse upon Him on that tree or on that cross, so that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus. And we're told Abraham was blessed in all things, right? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All the promises of the Spirit that have been given to us are to protect, to bless, to feed, to provide in every kind of a way. But they only work through faith. And the word of hearing didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard, the Bible says. So we mix faith with these promises. We realize that God wants us to walk in a whole new way, not in the ways of traditions of religious men. That is pitiful. They don't even believe that we are to manifest our sonship here on this earth. But that's what Jesus provided for. He trained up His disciples, and they walked as He walked, and they did the miracles He did, and they weren't under the curse of the world. In Proverbs 18 and 10, we're told, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. In other words, it's a high place. It's a strong tower. His name, what does His name represent? The authority that He gives unto us to do such things. The nature of Jesus Christ, the character of Jesus Christ, and the authority that He's given unto us. It's a strong tower. If a person knows they have authority and they come against the curse, they will win. And He also says that the righteous runneth into it and is safe, or is put on high and is made safe. A strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Zion is a strong tower. And it represents the name because it represents a people, the bride, who have manifested the name, the nature, character, and authority of the Lord. And as you know, Zion was a place of safety. Verse 11 says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. In other words, they always think they can build something or make something or save something or hide something that's going to save them. As a high wall in his own imagination. You know, people that build high walls do it for protection, right? But it's just in their imagination. In Proverbs 11 and 4, we're told, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. One thing we need to do now to prepare for the even worse days to come. You're watching the tornadoes, all the things that are happening out there, how many people are dying just the last few years, and that's nothing compared to the days to come. How do we get prepared? Well, righteousness delivereth from death. The gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. We study the good news of the promises, and we walk by faith in the Lord and not by sight. And God manifests His righteousness in us, or He imputes His righteousness to us because of our faith in His promises. Right? In Exodus 12 and 13, and the blood shall be unto you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Notice it is the Lord who passes over, not just the death angel. The death angel is in the hand of the Lord. He is sovereign. And when He sees the blood, and how does the blood apply? Well, it's applied by our repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right? And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. He said, I will pass over you, and there shall no plague. And the word plague there is to smite or a blow. There shall no plague be upon you to destroy you. Now, we have a better covenant based on better promises. Some people say, oh, that's the old covenant. God did a lot of miracles back there, but he don't do them today. Well, you haven't read your Bible. You're not walking in the steps of Jesus. You're abiding in religion if you believe such things. We have a better covenant based on better promises. That's what Paul said. And when I smite the land of Egypt, notice who is going to be the one to smite the land of Egypt. There isn't any bigger Egypt than America. I know it's a melting pot of all nations and all religions. And as such, it's a good type of Egypt, which many people think is a type of the world. I agree. He said, I will pass over you, and no plague shall be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Forget about the destroyer. Fear God, right? Fear not him who's able to destroy the body, but fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear the Lord. And 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. This is some of the old leaven that the Lord's plan is for you to take care of yourself. Or he's got wise men of the world to take care of you. You don't need to go to the Lord. You don't need to call for the elders. You don't need to put your faith in him. You don't need to ask him for wisdom, James 1, because you learned that from your preacher, right? Purge out the old leaven, that old thinking that comes from man that the church is full of, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened, that is by faith. For our Passover, that is a Passover of death and the curse, also have been sacrificed, even Christ. Our Passover has been sacrificed already, the Passover lamb. The only thing left is for you, as we've said so many times, to eat the lamb. Everybody who ate the lamb and left none of it until morning had a Passover. You see, people aren't eating the lamb. They're not eating the word. They're not devouring. He said, except you eat my body. And he was the word made flesh. You have to eat that body. Put it into you so you know what to do when a tornado comes, or any other kind of natural disaster or man-made disaster. All of that's the curse. Read it in Deuteronomy 28, right? And then I watched as a father holding the hand of his small son got out of his car and began to walk quickly in the direction of the school building for protection from the approaching danger. You know, we were told of a school that had just been rebuilt in Arkansas that was blown to pieces by the tornado there. And that was the morning after the dream that Belinda had here. And a whole town was razed to the ground. Think about 100 miles long stretch of destruction the tornado did. While I was doing that, I looked on YouTube, for instance, and I saw a couple of places, and there were people videotaped rebuking a tornado and commanding it to go or disperse, and it did. One day we were having a get-together at one of the brethren's house up north of here, and it looked like rain. It was kind of dark. So I prayed and I commanded it not to rain in the name of Jesus. And we got out there. We're having a good old time, but it was still dark. The heavens were dark, you know. And I walked out in a field with a bunch of the brethren there. And I looked up and I saw a vortex forming right over our heads. And I wasn't worried in the slightest. I was just watching it. I'd never been that close to one and never seen one form like that before. It was kind of exciting. Well, some of the ladies who had children there, they quickly started rebuking that thing in the name of Jesus. I said, oh, I wanted to see it, see what happened. They said, no, you're not going to do that. So they started rebuking it in the name of Jesus, and it broke up right there over our heads. And as we watched it drift over a ways, it started forming again to the north of us. And, you know, it didn't rain that day. It hailed. And I'm telling you, the whole ground was covered in inches of hail. And it was cool that day, obviously, because the ice all over the ground, everything was white, you know. And so, praise the Lord. Lots of times hail turns up around tornadoes. So she saw the father and the son walking to the school building. And as they approached me, they stopped, and the father said, ma'am, you need to come with us. I just heard on my car radio that the tornado will be here in a few minutes. I said, yes, I know, but I am fine. I'm protected right here where I am. Yeah, obviously by faith in the blood of the Lamb, of the Passover Lamb, right? Amen. We have a Passover. The curse falls on the Egyptians. Don't forget that. Don't be relying too much on your own Egyptian either. You'll be having a curse on you. Because if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin. I don't know how many people in these days that God has desired to turn over to judgment that I've told them about their sin and pointed out to them that what they're doing is willful disobedience, and they paid absolutely no attention because God put it in their heart to not pay attention so he could judge them. It will be that way in the days to come. And she said, I'm protected right here where I am. It's the same for you, saints. She went on to say, I am in the ark. Psalm 125 and 1. They that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. Cannot be moved. And Hebrews 11 and 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, what does that ark represent today? And how do you prepare an ark to save your house? Well, the first thing you got to do is realize that the ark is Jesus Christ, and if you abide in him, you have all the promises that are there. Abiding in Christ is where they are. So you teach your children, you teach your house to agree with the promises of God, agree with the provision of God, to speak the promises of God. And in the face of whatever, you know, temptation, trial, threat there is, speak it, speak it. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Remember, salvation is the word soteria, and it means all of your needs supplied, right? Salvation from everything, not just I get to go to heaven. See, if you don't believe in the Passover Lamb, except for the fact that you believe he bore your sins, then you might pass away in a judgment and still go to heaven, but you might pass away in a judgment. And there might be other people depending upon you, people that need you. Maybe your children need you. Maybe your parents need you. Maybe your wife or husband needs you. So it's not just a great thing. Faith is accounted as righteousness, the Bible says. By faith, Noah being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world, because there were people on the earth who were preparing an ark of safety, God could bring judgment on the world and destroy it. God did not do it until Noah made the ark. In these days, folks, I gotta tell you that Noah's are making their arks, and the people who are supposed to escape will escape by faith in Jesus Christ and abide in Him. And He became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith, because He did this. You know, years ago, we had a dream when I lived in Louisiana that a tornado was coming straight at the front picture window of our house. And as we watched, we rebuked it in Jesus' name, and it jumped over the house. I went on the internet and did a search and found a couple of good examples I'm going to post with this dream of a man and a woman rebuking a tornado in Jesus' name, and them moving or dispersing and changing direction and whatever, you know. Well, I've seen that, and this thing that we saw in the dream came to pass shortly after this. In other words, we were warned, and we rebuked it in the dream, and it came shortly after that. It cut a path of destruction down through the subdivision that we were in and stopped about one street over from us and jumped over our house, landing in a shopping center a few streets behind us. And because we believed in the Passover lamb, God warned us so we could take action against this. Sometimes He doesn't warn you, but it doesn't make any difference. During the midst of it, you're able to speak it. Because another time a tornado came towards our mountain house, the one I'm in right now. And the wind picked up drastically and began pelting the windows with all kinds of debris. I knew what it was. I could hear it. I heard the noise of it. But I and the others that were in the house rebuked it, and it turned away. Another time a hurricane was coming into the Gulf. A hurricane's a whirlwind too, right? Just a big one. A hurricane was coming into the Gulf and straight towards our house. It was on radar. We were watching it. And the brethren in our Bible study were asking what I was going to do. And I said, nothing. I said, there's a big angel in my front yard, and that hurricane is not coming here. And sure enough, it came up to the beach through the Gulf. That's going north, right? And took a sharp right angle turn right when it hit the beach. Went down the beach and then turned left. This happened twice. One time I prophesied, actually, that a hurricane was going to come and go down the beach and wipe out the greedy merchants that brought in the homosexual parties all the time. And that happened. And it just washed in the front of all those businesses and washed out the back and left 6 or 8 feet of sand. So it turned and it went down the beach and it turned left, which was going north again. But by that time it had missed me, you know. And it curved around behind us and then turned back to its original path northward. In other words, it just made a half circle around us and then turned and went right, kept right on going the same direction it was coming, you know. So, I mean, you know, God wanted to make sure that I understood that the words that I spoke made a difference. And some of the brethren got on the interstate to leave town and escape the hurricane and were caught in a traffic jam and had to ride it out on the interstate. And others made it home before it hit, but there was a big traffic jam at the last minute, and nobody could get out. That's a big problem on the Gulf. Other times, when a hurricane came, I did not stop it. I didn't even feel to stop it, but just commanded my trees and property to be secure. But my neighbors lost trees and parts of houses and roofs, and I didn't have any damage. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He is the Word made flesh. He said, eat his body and have life and not death. Right? This is God's plan for us, to walk in the steps of Jesus. Amen. Mark 11 and 23 says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, or tornado, doesn't make any difference, or hurricane, or many other things, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. This is it. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, and he shall have it. I walked out in my yard in a hurricane and stuck my finger up in the air and rebuked it in Jesus' name, you know, and commanded protection over my property. And I remember walking around the block one time during the eye of a hurricane just to see what had happened, you know, as the eye passed over. Because those of you who don't know about hurricanes, the eye is a calm spot right in the middle of the hurricane. And I saw a tree that was leaning into a large oak, but it was over this man's house. And I alerted the person. I said, hey, that tree has been pushed from one direction, but when the eye comes, the wind is going to come from the other direction. It could lay it right over across the road. So I let him know, and you know what? After the hurricane, I went out there, and that tree was standing straight up. I says, wow. So I told him, I says, you better cut that down, because it's broken at the roots, just standing up. Anyway, verse 24 says, therefore, so verse 23, speak to it. That's what he says. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, speak to it. Speak to whatever it is. Cast down the works of the devil. Say it. You cast it down. When you find out a plot, does God ever warn you about the devil's plots? He warns me all the time. And the first thing I do is start casting it down. In the name of Jesus. Forbidding. What you forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven, right? And he says, if you'll believe and not doubt, you'll have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And whensoever you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against anyone, because I tell you, you got no promise of deliverance from the curse if you don't forgive people. So that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. See, the foundation for all deliverance from the curse is forgiveness. Repent and believe is the message. Job 22 and 28 says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And light shall shine upon thy ways. Decree. Do you think as sons of God we've got a right to decree things? Well, absolutely. Listen to what Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. For not unto angels did he subject the world to come, that world to come there, the Greek, many of you have a note, the inhabited earth. He's not talking about the world to come. He's talking about the inhabited earth. For not unto angels did he subject the inhabited earth, whereof we speak. He gave the authority to Adam, didn't he? And now the last Adam, Jesus Christ, who delegated the authority to us, right? But one has somewhere testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Notice it's plural, man, plural, that you're mindful of him. Why do you pay attention to men? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? And, of course, Jesus called himself the Son of Man, but through the Old Testament we see other men were called by God Son of Man. And they were always people who spoke for God, right? Thou madest him, that is man, in a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou set him over the works of thy hands. Of course, that was first spoken of Adam, but now it's spoken of us. We are the children of the last Adam. Thou didst put all things in subjection under his feet. That is man. And Jesus did put all things under the feet, which is the lowest member of his body on earth. Ephesians 1 and 22, he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him, that is Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church. So, he's the head of the body, and the rest of the body is the body, and all of that is over the works of this earth. And Matthew 18 and 18, verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That could go both ways. You can bind things you're not supposed to bind and loose things you're not supposed to loose by your tongue. You have to be careful how you speak. You have authority in your mouth. He gave you authority. And he also warns us in James that blessing and cursing shouldn't come out of the same mouth, right? So, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. Amen. So Belinda said, when she said, I am in the ark, the man looked at me like I had lost my mind, which I had. I lost the mind of the old man, the mind of the flesh. Yeah, she had the renewed mind of Christ. When you humble yourself to the word of Christ, if you just ignore it and go on in your fears and anxiety, you're just going to be driven by the devil. But she had the renewed mind of Christ in this dream. And it is to walk above the curse, right? Now, you can't walk above the curse if you need a whipping. If you're not forgiven, you need a whipping. And just then, he pulled on his small son's hand and said, come on, son. We need to get to the school building now. And that's, of course, the place where intellect is taught, like God helps them that help themselves. Most religions teach that. Most apostate preachers teach that. Even if they don't say it, they teach it. They teach that you're not saved by works, but they try it all the time. The little boy said to his father, I see the ark, Daddy. See, Belinda said, I'm in the ark. The little boy said, I see the ark, Daddy. I see it. Can't you see it? Remember Noah's Ark, Daddy? Well, Daddy probably told him the story. Now he knows more than Daddy, right? Well, that's the way of children. Children have bold faith. If you teach them something, they will trust in God. They will teach you a lot. And the family all got into the Ark, and God kept them safe. That's what he told his daddy. The family all got into the Ark, and God kept them safe. Psalm 32 and 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will counsel thee with mine eye upon thee. Yeah, the Lord, ask the Lord to teach you to be a disciple. Ask him to do that. Ask him for everything, but especially ask him to do that. To teach you to be his disciple. To walk in his steps. Amen. Psalm 33 and 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Amen. Do you fear him enough that you want to obey him? If not, you really don't fear him. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his loving kindness. People who hope in the mercy and grace of God. And hope is a firm expectation. And Psalm 34 and 11 says, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And the ark is abiding in Jesus and His Word, because He is the Word, right? Abiding in it. That's not just knowing it in your mind. The daddy probably taught the boy about Noah's Ark time and time again. But it wasn't sinking in for him. He knew it, but he couldn't live it. The little boy could live it because he believed in God. He believed in the power of God. And just then, the little boy broke away from his father and came over to me and took a hold of my hand. And Matthew 19 and 14 says, "But Jesus said, Suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for to such belongeth the kingdom of heaven." What is the kingdom of heaven? Why do little children have the kingdom of heaven? Because they have a simple faith in God. And the kingdom of heaven, of course, is where we rule under God. The kingdom of heaven is in the earth, by the way. And it's here, anywhere, God rules through His children. Why is it that the kingdom of this world is going to become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ? Because God is going to speak through His children and bring it to pass. Everything He's going to do, He's going to do it through His children. Now, how can two walk together except they be agreed? He'll speak it through some people because they've come into agreement with God. But He can't speak it through most Christians in the state they're in right now, because they don't agree with God. In fact, they fight against God, and their preachers do too. He said to his father, "Come on, Daddy, get into the ark with us. Hurry. We will all be safe here." And I watched as the man struggled with what he had been taught by the traditions of men versus the truth of what this little child was revealing to him. You know, Matthew 18 and 3 says, "And verily I say unto you, except you turn and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." Yeah, they claim that Christians who believe such things are simple-minded. Well, that's good. That's good. Just keep on being simple-minded, you children, and you can enter the kingdom that way. The little boy was obviously entering the kingdom, and his dad was not. He found it hard to do because of tradition. And the kingdom of heaven is where God rules through us. And the kingdom is where one walks in agreement with kingdom teaching. Amen? Everything Jesus taught was to teach us how to live in the kingdom of God. Suddenly, here came the tornado, and there was no time to run. So while the man was sitting there tossing this back and forth in his mind, it was too late, right? And you know, for man, there is no time to run or safe place to run to, except the secret place of the Most High, by faith. He is sovereign over the whirlwinds, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, the tsunamis, the radiation, the floods, disease, enemies, on and on and on and on. Just to take a tornado, for instance, Nahum 1 and 3 says, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will by no means clear the guilty." So that's no help to people who are walking in their guilt, right? "But the Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm." Now you think about what the whirlwind's been doing to this country, and you got to know that God is mad. "And the clouds are the dust of His feet." And Belinda said, "The father quickly came over to me and took my hand. And the three of us stood there together." And John 14 and 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Yeah, John 15 and 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me," that's the ark, right? "And my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified." You see, people think you're robbing the glory of God if you go out and do signs and wonders in His name. But he said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples." Belinda said, "I looked down at the small child, and I said, 'Would you like to sing a worship song to the Lord?' And the little boy said, 'Oh, yes, I would. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world.'" There's a parable there somewhere, folks, that we have to become as a child. Come to Jesus and just believe what he said. And enter into the rest, right? And Belinda went on to say, "See, just then we were all God's little children, trusting in him and in him alone for our protection from the storm." Yeah. And there are storms so big that nobody and nothing can protect you but the Lord himself, who is in control of all storms. He is sovereign. Psalm 7:17 says, "I will give thanks unto the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." Praise is a language of faith. Halal. To brag on. Brag on what the Lord has done. Brag on what the Lord will do. Brag on him. Psalm 13:6, "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Yes, he has. Psalm 21:13, "Be thou exalted, O Lord, in thy strength. So will we sing and praise thy power." It's a good thing to do. Sing and praise his power. Brag on his power. Brag on who he is. Use the name of Jesus much. In those two videos that I'm attaching to this, they were using the name of Jesus because they were threatened by a tornado. And I tell you, he worked. He worked. She said, "We watched as the school building, where the knowledge of the traditions of men are taught, was completely destroyed. And all the surrounding houses were destroyed beyond recognition." Oh, by the way, that's just the way the school that I spoke of was, exactly the same way. It happened on the day after the night that she received this dream. That was in Arkansas. I think there was about 100 miles of destruction. Then I heard the little boy say, "See, Daddy, isn't the ark a good place to be?" Amen. "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you." Or, by the way, it's still true, and we spoke that before in Matthew 18, that you speak the word, give the command. If you got authority, you have authority to give the command, to do as Jesus did. He taught his disciples to go out and give the commands. They didn't go out and beg God every time they saw a need. They just spoke it. Some people think that's arrogance and presumption, but they really haven't become familiar with God or what he really wants of us. He wants to create in us the life of Jesus Christ. "No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven," which is Jesus. So, the Lord wants sons of God manifested. As Paul said in Romans chapter 8, "Now, Son of God looks like Jesus. He does like Jesus. He speaks like Jesus, just like those disciples who followed Jesus, and the disciples that followed them in a large part." It's true. A falling away started after those disciples, but it always does. You can teach something to a group of people, and a falling away will start happening immediately because people get double-minded when they're tried. They're all happy about what they've learned. But when they're tested and tried, people get double-minded. "But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." That's what Jesus said. Psalm 91:1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High," that's the ark, "shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And who is going to bother you under there, right? Remember Jesus said he was like a hen that wanted to gather his chicks under his wings, but they wouldn't. He was very sorrowful because a great judgment was coming. He spoke of it. Now, we got that great judgment coming. And I believe Jesus is saying the same thing. People will not run to the secret place of the Most High. They'll run to their shelters, right? I know what Michael Hare was sharing with me the other day about a man having built a shelter. Or no, it was a barn. He had built a barn and a tornado took it out. So he decided he was going to make a barn a tornado couldn't take out. So he set his post down deep in the ground, poured concrete around him. All those things that you do to make the barn stable. And a tornado came. It's kind of like when they said, when the engineer of the Titanic said, we built a ship that God can't sink. Oh, you don't want to shake your finger in God's hand, in his face. I mean, that's kind of what this person did. He built that barn just as solid as a rock. The tornado came, ripped up the post, ripped up the concrete, ripped it all out the ground, and threw it away. Better to trust in faith. It's a lot cheaper. It's a whole lot simpler. It gives glory to God. It causes you to grow up in him, right? Amen. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. There it is. Say it. Say it. Say it before the judgment comes. Do a little preventive maintenance here, you know. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Write it upon your heart, right? Your tongue is the pen of a ready writer, right? Write it upon your heart. Speak it. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Yeah, be plenty of those bouncing around here shortly. In fact, they are now. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. So his truth, especially if it's mixed with faith in them that heard, is a shield. It's a protection and a buckler. It's a protection. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. If God tells you not to be afraid, why does he tell you that? Because you don't have to be afraid if you trust in him. Nor the arrow that flieth by day. For the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Boy, we had some destruction the day of those tornadoes. And last year, same thing. A bunch of schools were taken down. They're rebuilding them. Interesting. Why God was picking on the schools. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Now, what makes you so special? Just one thing. The faith in God, faith in his promises. Or you can put them off until the millennium if you want, but they might get you killed. That's what some people preach about Psalm 91. It's for the millennium. Why in the world would you need it then? You got a glorified body. Are you worried about these things when you got a glorified body? Well, no. Absolutely not. That's kind of goofy doctrine, isn't it? Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. So the guy that's got faith and is under the shadow of the Almighty, is in the secret place of the Most High, he's going to see the wicked destroyed. And for the same reason that he is safe, they are destroyed. For their lack of faith. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. There it is. Speak it again. Thou, O Lord, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. Notice, you're in the ark. See, just by saying, believing and saying, Thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Say that. Learn that. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague, which is not a pestilence here. He's talking about a blow or smiting. Okay. Come nigh thy tent. Amen. So your tent, well, tents ain't very stout, are they? But if you got faith in them, you know, if you've got faith inside them, not in them, but inside them, you will be safe. For he will give his angels charge over thee. Just remember, just one angel killed 185,000 men. One angel bound the devil, threw him in the abyss. These angels are tough. He will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. All thy ways. But that's not man's ways. You see, men have tempted the Lord, tested the Lord by leaning upon their own understanding, leaning upon their own ways. Salvation by works. Salvation in any form, spirit, soul, body, and circumstances, is not by our works. It's by our faith in God. They shall bear thee up with their hands, that is, the angels of God, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Just a little accident. They can keep you from a little accident. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample under foot. You know, the serpents in Luke were demons, right? The demons are subject unto you. The spirits subject unto you. So, you tread upon them. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. People who love the Lord, keep his commandments, he said he will deliver them. Respect his word, speak his word out of your mouth, proclaim him as Savior, not just of your soul when you die, but say of the Lord, he's your refuge and your fortress, my God in whom I trust. Speak it. Speak it and he will honor it. Speak it in front of people and he will honor it. If you confess him before men, he will confess you before the Father and before the holy angels. That's a good deal. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. You need to know the true nature, character, and authority of Jesus, because that is your protection in the days ahead. That is your strong tower, Proverbs speaks about. Know the real, true Jesus. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. All your needs supplied. Not just your spirit, but your spirit and your soul and your body and your circumstances. Everything. God covers everything by his word. Oh, praises to you, Father. Praises to you. Thank you, Lord. You are our refuge, our fortress. We trust in you. We make you our habitation, O Lord. We abide in you by faith. You delivered us from our sins. We forgive everyone, every enemy, everyone who's come against us. All of our lives, we forgive them, Lord, so that we may abide in the secret place of the Most High. And we thank you, Lord, that you will honor us and that you will bring fruit, much fruit, from the knowledge of the Word that you are bringing to pass in our lives. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation, you said. Lord, we accept your salvation in all of its forms. Lord, help us to recognize it in all of its forms. The world's got a lot of wrong ideas about you, Lord, but we're learning better as we study your word. We're learning to pay attention. And Lord, in the days to come, remind us, bring all of these wonderful things to our remembrance to protect us in the days to come, Lord. Manifest your faith in us, Father. Thank you for your Son having suffered to deliver us from the curse, Father. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Amen.